Barney Rossett was born in Chicago in 1922 to a well-to-do family. Raised and schooled in a progressive social environment, Rossett grew up an iconoclast and something of a rebel. He attended four colleges before graduating. While serving in the U.S. Army during World War II, he was drawn to filmmaking and continued studying the craft after the war. In 1949, Rossett produced Strange Victory, a film about African-American soldiers who returned home from World War II to face bitter racism.
So we documented it. There was the good part. You could make the film. And a lot of the film we used, we got from the American government. So our government let us have the material, which in a way said bad things about itself. I admired that.
The bohemian culture of New York's Greenwich Village, where Rossett lived after the war, was bursting with new and challenging ideas in jazz, painting, and the literary arts. In 1951, Rossett bought the Tiny Grove Press for $3,000 and turned it into an alternative publishing house that welcomed non-mainstream writers. Grove paid $200 for the American rights to Waiting for Godot by the Irish playwright Samuel Beckett. Its publication in 1954 helped to establish Rossett's reputation in the American literary vanguard. To date, Grove Press has sold over 2 million copies of Godot, now widely recognized as a masterpiece. In 1957, Rossett launched a literary magazine called The Evergreen Review. The edgy periodical showcased scores of now-famous writers, including Susan Sontag, Harold Pinter, Frank O'Hara, Jean Genet, beat poet Allen Ginsberg, and others. In its second issue, Evergreen profiled the D.H. Lawrence novel Lady Chatterley's Lover, which had been banned in Britain for its explicit sexual content. Grove Press then boldly published the unexpurgated novel. That sparked a fierce legal battle, which Rossett finally won in 1961. Grove then published Tropic of Cancer, a semi-autobiographical novel by American expatriate writer Henry Miller, which had been banned as obscene by a U.S. court, also for its explicit sexual language. Rossett says that despite those passages, he didn't think Tropic of Cancer was about sex.
What really got me was the anti-American feeling, his bitterness about certain aspects of it. And he was extremely endowed with the ability to say why. For example, he thought, there were more beautiful women in this country than anywhere else, but they all looked alike. They were dull, in effect. You met one, you met them all. And it was true also in other areas of the community. And he didn't like that homogeneity.
In its landmark 1964 ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court decided that Tropic of Cancer was not obscene because of what the justices called its redeeming social value. Henry Miller's novel has since been named by many critics as one of the greatest works of 20th century literature. Barney Rossett contends that literary merit was always his primary reason for publishing a book, but he concedes that he has also relished the chance to assert the Constitution's guarantee of freedom of the press and freedom of speech.
I feel that if people don't have the right to express themselves, first of all, they're not going to be happy. And secondly, they're not going to develop the creative abilities that they have as scientists, as bankers, as anything.
According to Neil Ortenberg, a one-time publisher and co-director of a documentary about Rossett's life called Obscene, Rossett's tenacity and his extraordinary eye for artistic talent make him one of the most important American publishers ever.
Publishing has always been considered a gentlemanly thing. That was just not Barney. Barney was a street fighter. And also, I don't think Barney purposely set out to transform the country. What angered Barney was the hypocrisy in America that came out of the 50s. And he wanted to do whatever he could to bring that down. And he decided to pursue these fights to the bitter end.
Rossett himself traces his ability to fight hard against long odds back to high school.
I was a cross-country runner. I didn't get tired very easily. That was my whole thing was endurance. But I mean, it was a similar kind of thing, actually. I believed in freedom of speech. Never entered my head to quit.
Other milestone legal activities led to the 1962 publication of Naked Lunch by William S. Burroughs, with its depictions of homosexuality and drug use, and the controversial U.S. release in 1968 of the Swedish art film I Am Curious Yellow. The movie became a cause célèbre for its scenes of nudity and staged sexual intercourse, even though many consider those scenes mild by today's standards. Rosset remains a rather paradoxical figure in the publishing world. On the one hand, by bringing to American readers so many barrier-breaking and Nobel-caliber writers, including Harold Pinter, Jean-Paul Sartre, and Samuel Beckett, Rosset has been a champion of free speech and a free press. On the other hand, many critics still consider Rosset as a mere smut peddler. They cite Grove's best-selling series of Victorian erotic books as a prime example. Rosset documentarian Neil Ortenberg suggests that Barney Rosset is a bit of both.
It was kind of like a Pandora's box. You open up the culture to a wide variety of new things, and a lot of them are good, and some of them are not so good. Barney is just way ahead of his time, that's all. He really always has been.
However controversial his legacy, Rosset ranks among America's most honored publishers. In 2008, the National Coalition Against Censorship recognized his efforts, and the National Book Foundation gave him its Literarian Award for outstanding service to American letters. Barney Rosset is no longer affiliated with Grove Press. He is currently at work on his autobiography. The subject is left-handed. Its title is taken from an entry in the very thick file kept on him years ago by the FBI. I'm Adam Phillips, reporting from New York.